Welcome to the Mail Right Real Estate Agent Podcast Show, episode 85. And today I'm really excited about our guest because we have an executive coach with us, Kim Addis from Frame of Mind Coaching. Kim, would you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hello, I'm Kim Addis from Frame of Mind Coaching. happy to be here. Excited to be talking about real estate, one of my all-time favorite industries and subjects.
Woohoo! All right. And I'm going to introduce my co-host, Jonathan. And before he introduces himself, he'll talk about our sponsor.
Oh, yes, folks. Our sponsor, which is Real Estate Marketing University. A long UR, but a one that you need to remember. Basically, they're going to train you around everything to do with getting leads through Facebook. The CEO, Grant Wise, is an award-winning marketer, and he will be coming back on the show next week to tell us more about the secrets of getting quality leads from Facebook and the excellent training that he offers. So that's our plug to our great sponsor. And about me, I'm the founder of MailRight. It's a Facebook online marketing platform that is designed also to get you more quality leads.
Wonderful. And I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in America's finest city, San Diego, California. And I am never too busy for your referrals here. And you can find me on Facebook, my website, thomasjnelsonrealtor.com, or LinkedIn. And now let's jump over to our guest, Kim. So Kim, my first question out of the gate is, why would somebody want to hire a coach? They're doing well in their business. Why do they need a coach?
So can we maybe reframe that question for one quick second?
Sure, let's do it.
So there's lots of coaching in the real estate industry. Let's be real, right? Yep. Like, there are a ton of coaches. And usually real estate agents or brokers hire a coach because they want to increase their sales. And what they do is they hire a coach who typically helps them create a plan and holds them accountable to that plan, right?
Correct.
Is that how it works?
And that's what we hope for.
Okay, so that's why they typically hire a coach, except here's the deal, and here's what I believe. I've been connected to the real estate industry for many, many years, and my philosophy is a little different. The philosophy is this, is if you put 50 real estate agents in a room and you ask them, what are the top 10 things you need to do to increase your sales? They'll all create the same identical list, right? They know what to do. They're not doing it. And the question is, why? Is that because they lack accountability? I would suggest to you that no, that's not the reason. People don't really need babysitters, right? They're adults. So what's going wrong? And I would suggest to you that something is happening in their thinking. Something's getting in the way. Something is blocking their ability to do what they think they should be doing. And that's why they need to hire a coach. Even those that are successful are still not doing everything they think they should be doing. And the question is why? What's getting in the way? What's interfering? What thoughts, what beliefs, what perspectives, what habits, and what you could say deep views of the world are interfering with their ability to reach their goals? That's why they need to hire a coach, someone who could really look at their thinking and their beliefs and identify the blockage and help them move that out of their way so that they can naturally soar.
That makes a lot of sense. So, and I've heard it described as what gets in our way is our head trash. It's not necessarily anything, actually, even in some cases from our adult life. It could be something we've been carrying around from our upbringing or an experience we've gone through that it creates that block. So it sounds more to me almost like you're a psychologist or a psychiatrist with what you do. How do you approach that? Because first of all, you have a lot of these realtors are really intense. They're A personalities. And they're not necessarily going to want to admit to these, let's just call them shortcomings or flaws in their thinking. How do you even get them to sit down and listen to what you have to say?
Well, because they have pain, right? They generally have pain. And anyone who has pain typically wants to get rid of that pain, whatever that pain is. It could show up in their sales. It could show up in clients who give them a really hard time. It could show up in exhaustion, frustration, overwhelm. It could show up in the fact that they tend to have conflict with other realtors in their circle, in their environment. It could show up in a number of ways. And what we want to do is address the pain. And here's the key. You are the source of your pain. And so what we, you know, so how do we, it's not about getting them to admit it because they can't even see it. It's invisible to them.
Oh,
so
okay.
For us, it's helping them see what they can't see. And when they see it, they go, oh, wow, that's a game changer. And this is what we do, is we change their game completely in such a powerful and transformational way that their entire business just blows up. It thrives. And so do their relationships, so do their parenting, so does their level of joy and their level of peace.
See, now you just touched on something that I think is important, because I've heard a lot of coaches and they only address the real estate aspect of an agent's life. And you just hit it on the head. It's, if we're not happy at home, we're probably not happy at work. So,
right.
So you're going deeper and you're going into all the aspects of their life, family, marriage, their maybe their personal health, the structure of their business, how they're running it. Can we go into an example? Can you give us a success story that where you saw someone have an aha moment and turn it around?
Oh my goodness, so many of them. I'll give you an example. One of my clients was a real estate broker. He owned several brokerages. I'll keep the brand out of the picture. How's that?
Yep, let's keep it private.
Yeah, let's keep it private. And what he really, really wanted to do was not only grow his business, but he wanted to be an internationally renowned speaker. But for a million reasons, that was a problem. He wasn't getting to where he wanted to go. He was playing way smaller than his ability to do that. Now, my job wasn't to help him figure out all the steps to becoming a speaker. He could do that on his own. He was a pretty bright individual, very capable. My job was to figure out, so if you're a good speaker and you have the skill set and you can study and practice and you have all that together, why aren't you doing that?
Right.
And there were a million reasons why. Now, you asked me a question before. It's just, how do I do that? One of the things that I do is when I coach people, the first 10 weeks are incredibly intense. So what happens in those first 10 weeks? There's a call every week, but every call is recorded. And we ask our clients to listen to their recordings. Why? So that they can start to pay attention to how they show up. They can start to listen to the words they use, the stories they tell, the way that they express emotion, and they can start to become observers of the way they think. And really what I want to do is help them connect two very important dots, the way they think and their outcomes. And what you'll find is that every outcome that you've experienced in your world is a reflection of your thinking. And if you don't like the outcomes that you're experiencing right here, right now, before you start to change the parameters or before you start to take massive action, you really have to address your thinking. Because if you only take action, but your thinking hasn't changed, your outcomes won't be what you're looking for them to be. It won't be what you want. The other thing is that change won't be sustainable.
Right.
If your body changes, but your mind doesn't, it doesn't last.
Right. It's like a quick fix diet. I mean, you might lose the weight, but you haven't developed the habits to support the weight loss. And so eventually you gain the weight back because you come off the program or off the product.
Right. Now, the other thing we do is we ask our clients to journal every single day for the duration of those first 10 weeks. And every time they journal, their journal goes back to what me or one of my coaches. I have a team of coaches. Okay. So what does that do? It allows us to see how they think. It allows us to see the patterns and the traps they fall into over and over and over again. And it allows us to catch them quickly and show them what they're doing with their thinking and how their thinking is sometimes leading them to the outcomes they're looking for, but a lot of times no. So that combination creates an outstanding experience every single time. Now, let's take another example. A lot of realtors don't want a cold call. And that's one of the suggested ways that we encourage them to grow their business. And so they might say, okay, I'll suck it up. I'll do the cold calling. And they do it for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then they tend to go back to their normal behavior, which is, I don't like this.
Right.
So one of two things needs to happen. Number one is that they need to change their thinking about cold calling in order for that to be sustainable, or they need a different approach that's more consistent with their thinking.
Okay.
So if we keep forcing them to do that, we're creating an unhappy person.
If you give them that either or, is the alternative to find something that's as effective as cold calling but not cold calling? Is that what
you? Of course. Sure. Okay. There are lots of strategies out there. Cold calling isn't the only one, especially nowadays. Like how much cold calling do you do? Some people, I had a client who used to go in the closet and do 200 calls a day, literally in the closet.
Wow. Well, you know, I can understand that. And I think, you know, I'm going to throw myself on the fire here because I don't like, for example, cold calling. I don't like door knocking because I don't like it done to me. So in my mind, if I don't like it done to me, why would I do it to somebody else?
Well, and look at what you're doing. You were just on there saying, hey, if anyone has a referral, that's not cold calling.
Right.
That's a totally different strategy. One that lights you up. I could tell you're lit up. You're engaged. You're on fire, right? So one that is more aligned with who you are and your thinking.
Okay. So it's as long as you're getting the results, then it's not a matter of the method as much as just having something that you can make habitual and successful.
Sure. But again, understand this. It's not about the thing you do. It's about the thing you think. So can I take someone who hates cold calling and really challenge why they hate it so that they stop hating it so much, so they stop having so much resistance and actually start having fun with it? Of course.
Wow. Right?
So it's about a person's thinking. It's not about their action. Action follows thought.
So, I mean, how do you determine then what thinking needs to be changed versus what thinking you just need to leave alone and work around?
Very easy. Look at where the pain exists and what thinking causes the pain. The thinking that causes pain needs to be addressed. The thinking that causes joy, pleasure, success, excitement, we need to leave that alone. But we don't only need to leave it alone. We need to look at it and say, why is your thinking working for you here? What's the thinking that causes success here? And what's the thinking that causes pain and dissatisfaction over there? And can we transfer some of it over here?
Okay. So I mean, when you're talking to these agents, are they open to this kind of probing? It seems pretty invasive and personal. And how do you get the trust of your clients so that you do get to the root of their thinking?
Okay, so let's look at an Olympic athlete, and let's look at that athlete's coach. First of all, how much time do they spend together?
Probably the most outside of
every minute, right? They spend a lot of time together. And the coach really, really knows them. They know their nuances, their moves, everything they do. They know what they eat. They know how they sleep. They know everything about them.
Right.
But in the business world, that's not replicated. How often do you talk to your coach? Once a week? Once every 2 weeks?
Yeah, once every 2 weeks.
So what do? We ask our clients to journal every single day. That means we're in contact. We're in dialogue every single day with our coach, with our clients, right? And so when you journal, I read and respond to the journal. We're having an exchange and we're in this journey together. You're not accountable to me. I'm not your mother. I'm not your boss.
Right.
Right. And so we're in this journey together. And my job is to know you inside, outside, and upside down. And the frequency of contact allows us to do that. And so when you see that I know you, and oh, by the way, not only do I know you, I don't beat you up. That's not my role. What I do is I see you in a far better light than you can see yourself. I already see you successful. You can't see it, but I can. When you know that about me, when you experience that about me, they jump into this boat and start rowing right by my side.
Mm. I like that image. So with the journaling, two questions come out of that. So are they turning in the journal daily to you?
And so,
Well, go ahead with that one first.
Yeah. So it's not something they turn in, right? So they're journaling in an online private space. It's a piece of software that we built.
Okay.
So they get a journaling question or a prompt at the beginning of the week, and that gets their kind of journaling juices flowing.
Oh, that's clever.
And every time they journal, it automatically comes to me saying, you know, Joe just submitted a journal. And then I read and I hop in and I respond to it. So it's very private. There's like bank level security. So it's very secure and safe for the person and their content to be in an isolated space. Okay. And we have this dialogue going on every single day. Meanwhile, I'm reading their journal daily. And if in the middle of the week they have a crisis, I'm not going to wait till our next call. I hop on the call and say, let's deal with this now.
Oh, okay.
Right? So as a coach, I'm up to speed every minute. I don't have to get on the call and say, hey, you know, what happened last week? I already know.
Okay.
Right?
So I mean, this kind of got answered, but I'm going to ask it anyhow, because like for me, I love the concept of journaling. I learned about journaling from one of my heroes, Jim Rohn, many years ago. But the habit of journaling is so difficult for me in a busy day. So how do you get your clients to do it consistently enough to where you're an effective coach for them?
Well, first of all, I ask them to try to do it at a regular time in the day, like just carve out even 10 minutes.
Okay.
But there's something interesting about a journal that talks back, right? So imagine, do you have children?
Yes, I have a son.
How old is he?
20.
Perfect. Does he ever text you?
Yeah, that's about the only way I hear from him.
Okay. So when he texts you, do you answer or do you ignore it?
No, I text him back usually right away.
Okay. So this is the same concept. We're in a relationship together and you journal and I respond to you. What do you want to do? You want to respond back to me.
Right.
So there's an engagement unlike any other coaching experience. That's very intense, very intimate. But that relationship is what really helps a client travel a great distance in a relatively short period of time.
This is so clever. I mean, I've been around coaching my whole career and I've never quite heard it done this way. So this is standing out to me as a very different approach. And because I've been in coaching, I'm very engaged with you and I'm probably being very rude to my co-host here. Jonathan, do you have any questions for Kim?
One thing came to mind, Kim. We had Michael Gerber of the E-Myth on the show a few weeks ago, and he remarked that he thought most people were asleep, not fully awake. It goes from a philosopher, I think the gentleman's name was Gertrude, that wrote a number of books about the same subject. Would you agree with that, that a lot of people are semi-automated in their behavior?
I'm going to change that a little bit because it's a pretty negative view of the world. What I would suggest to you is that most people are unconscious, which doesn't mean that they're quite asleep. It means that they're not aware. And so what does that mean? It means they're not aware of their operating system. Like you use a computer, but you don't really know how that operating system works. And you don't know the connection. You don't know what leads to what. Right? You're not really aware of how that works and how that functions. We kind of use the computer. We're just happy it works. And in much the same way, we don't really know how our own operating system works. We don't know the relationship between our thoughts and our outcomes. And we're not even aware of some of our thoughts. And so that's where the unconsciousness exists. If we start to become aware of this relationship, this key relationship between our thoughts, our beliefs, and our results, and we see how our thinking creates the results we're getting, and we say, hey, that's not really working for me. Now we have what we would say is an increased level of control or possibility for control over our outcomes. Without that, we just don't. So we want to increase consciousness. We want to increase people's understanding of how their own operating system works.
Yeah. I can see that. It's a bit like driving, isn't it? When you're learning to drive, it's all very conscious. You know, if you've got a gear shift, the pedals, what's going. And then as we become more proficient at it, it becomes part of our subconscious, doesn't it?
Right. Except in this case, what you're talking about is increased proficiency. Right? When we first learn to drive, we're not that proficient. We don't really know what we're doing. We're a little, you know, choppy. We start and we go and our turns aren't exactly smooth, that type of thing. And over time, we just do it and it's second nature. And what I want to do is help people think in ways that is aligned with their dreams, their goals, and their desires in a way that's second nature. Right now, it's not second nature because they have no awareness of how to do that. Right? So we're taking 18-year-olds and teaching them how to drive in the same way as I take my clients and I teach them how to think in ways that are aligned with their goals, dreams, and desires. That's new to them. So they make mistakes at the beginning and it becomes easier and easier and easier over time, less choppiness, you know, less awkwardness.
That's great. You know, obviously you worked with a lot of different clients in different industries. Is there any kind of consistent pattern of major things that you see that people do that aren't to their best benefit?
So again, I'm less interested in what people do and I'm much more interested in what people think and how they think. Yeah. And their doing just tells me how they're thinking. So I'll give you an example. One of my clients right now is extremely she's an extremely hard worker, but she's having a lot of frustration and tension in her work environment. And so what does she do? She works harder. Why? So that she thinks that her harder work could lead to less tension. If she does a better job, then there will be less tension. But what ends up happening is the harder she works, the more frustrated she gets, the more resentment she feels. And ultimately, the more tension gets built in her environment. Mm. And so each one of us is wired to seek, let's say, approval and positive regard for others. And we engage in all kinds of interesting activities, all kinds of interesting behaviors in order to get that approval. But fundamentally, what's the thought? What's the belief? The belief is, I'm only valuable if other people think I am. So, right? So that's common. We see that all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump on Jonathan's question. I understand it's about thinking, but is there a commonality you see in maybe today's executive or today's entrepreneur, a common problem they're all battling or trying to overcome? Or are we as unique as our fingerprints in what you're experiencing?
Well, we see groups of similarities, right? So we have some leaders who feel like they're the only ones who know how to do the job and they take on all the work on their own and they feel completely isolated and alone and overwhelmed and burdened, but they can't share their load with anybody else. We see other people who don't really feel comfortable looking bad, so they blame others for anything that go wrong. Mm. And it's really a knee-jerk reaction. It's a self-preservation action, right? We see other people who are so focused on their tasks that they lose sight of the big picture, right? Like, we see all kinds of things over and over and over again, and typically they're packaged in such a way that people think that they believe they're doing the right thing. People have good intentions. Right, they're doing their best.
Yeah, they there's nobody coming up against them to show them anything different or make them or snap them out of it, if you will.
Right,
because they, you know, especially if they're in charge. I mean, I see that in real estate a lot, where there's a lot of go-getters, and God forbid they show any weakness or sense of being a human. You know, the bragging that goes on in real estate about being 24/7, always answering the phone, that drives me crazy, because I don't think people understand the value of rest and recover to recharge.
Right. And I'll give you a flip side story of that. I had a top real estate performer, amazing, one of the top performers in his whole entire market. He was a client of mine. And, you know, one of the things he did was he told his clients, look, during the week, I'm not available after 7. Don't reach out to me. And on the weekends, it's basically 9 to 5. After that, I'm not available, which was great. Except that one day he got a text from one of his clients at, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. Mm. And he was absolutely furious. His mood plummeted. He went from a, you know, happiness scale of, let's say, a 9 to like a 4. How dare they? You didn't listen to me. I gave them instructions and they disrespected me.
Right.
And I'm like, are you serious? Don't answer your text. Like, turn off your phone. Like, you're letting that determine your well-being, your emotional state, your happiness. Like, really? Seriously? A single text can ruin your whole entire day? And not even for what the text said, but just because the text came in.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all kinds of personalities on the line for sure. But what it boils down to is what you believe to be true will determine whether or not you're happy or totally dissatisfied.
So I'm hearing you say happiness is a choice.
What you're hearing me say is your emotional state, let's call it happiness,
okay,
is the result of your thoughts and beliefs.
Okay. Very good.
Well, I'm excluded from that. I'm English. So.
Uh-oh. Now, how would you read into that there, Kim?
Well, you and I have to have a one-on-one conversation.
I knew you were going to say that. I was just waiting for it.
Am I good to ask some more questions, or do we need to break for our sponsor, Jonathan?
It's best to go for our break.
I figured that. Okay.
Seeing what my thoughts are. Well, we're coming back in a minute, folks, to learn more about how we need to change our thoughts.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy-to-use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no-question-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
We're coming back. We got Kim. It's been an excellent conversation. I'm changing my thoughts right now, and I've got my journal, and I'm at it. So, Thomas, fire away.
I'm not going to recognize you next week, am I? Well, I want to go into some of the mechanics of what you do. I spent some time on your website, and for the benefit of our listeners, I see three distinct categories of coaching that you do. FOM essentials, one-on-one coaching, and executive coaching. Can you kind of break those out and explain them a little?
Yeah, FOM essential is basically for people who want to do their own independent work. And so they sign up for FOM essentials. It's a low-cost product, and they come into a community where they get to journal every single day. They get a journaling prompt every 3 days, and they get an instructional, I do it, a podcast from me that literally takes journals and provides coaching for those journals. Oh. And typically people journal about things that are universal. They just do. I got into a fight with my wife. I'm struggling at work. I'm sick of my weight, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So I use those journals, those universal journals, to coach so that the audience or the listener can experience that benefit. But in that community, they're journaling, they're reading and responding to one another in that community, and twice a month they get to send their journal to a coach for review. So that's FOM Essentials.
And what does FOM stand for?
Frame of mind coaching.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so one-on-one coaching.
One-on-one coaching is typically our initial or basic 10-week experience. Again, super charged, very intense, very intimate. And the purpose of that is to help someone make a big leap forward in a short period of time. And that's typically for someone who's experiencing an imminent and right now crisis, something they're challenged with, and they just need to work that through with someone who's experienced.
Okay, so that's kind of more of a short term. I don't want to use the word quick fix, but just attention to a specific challenge in their career or life.
Right, and it's really for someone who is at the point where they say, "Okay, I'm fed up. I'm done. I need a sharp right turn."
Okay,
so that's what this provides.
Wonderful, and then the executive coaching.
So the executive coaching is typically for established entrepreneurs or executives who not only want that quick change, but want a sustainable change. And so for these people, things come up all the time. So we start off with those intense 10 weeks, and then we back it up and provide a maintenance approach over time, over a span of sometimes years. One of my clients has been with me for 7 years. So, and it's free. Like, they can stay as long as they want. They can leave what they want. And the relationship gets built over a long time. So we get to know all the intricacies of their business, of their personal lives. And, you know, it's really a long-term partnership.
Okay. Oh, and I could see the built-in self-improvement for your own company, because the amount of people you're coaching, you're tackling some issues, like you said, that are universal. So it only sharpens your skills on how to help us dig our way out of our holes.
Let me tell you a secret. Every time I coach someone else, I'm really just talking to myself. And what I'm really doing is going, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to know that stuff.
That's funny. So what is the span of the industries you cover? I mean, you don't have to go through them all, but I mean, just give us some bullets, some highlights.
Honestly, we do a lot in the fashion industry, fashion and retail. Oh, wow. We do some work, of course, in the real estate industry, high tech. We work with lawyers, accountants, like the professional sector as well. So, I mean, it goes everywhere. There is no limit. Really, what we're looking for is a personality, the type of person as opposed to the type of industry. So we're looking for a person who is very driven, who has big goals, big dreams, things they want to achieve. We're looking for the person who is a bit of a philanthropist, a person who wants to do good in the world. Maybe they go and they build homes for humanity. They are charitable. They volunteer. They do good. The third thing is that they are the type of person who wants to live a good life. They want nice cars. They want to travel. They want to live in a nice home. They want great relationships. They want to be healthy, and they're committed to that extraordinary life. And the last thing is they tend to be stressed, overwhelmed, and confronting the same kind of challenges over and over again in different outfits. Okay. So those are the people we coach.
Now, do you actually turn people away? Are there people that aren't a fit for your coaching?
Yeah, of course, certainly. If someone has, for example, long-term, I don't know, mental or personality disorder, like, we're not psychologists. You said right. It sounds like psychology, but we're not psychologists.
Right.
That's not what we're here to do. We don't administer drugs. Like, you know, if somebody needs more profound help, we absolutely turn them in that direction. You know, drug abusers, whatever. That's not our field.
Gotcha. So, and typically how are people finding you? Like, are you by referral, or how do you get most of your clientele?
Yeah. So many ways. Number one is for sure referral. Our clients typically love us. They usually do. And they send new clients our way. A lot of clients, actually, this is an interesting piece of information. Our team of coaches are all past clients. So they go through coaching, they fall in love with the experience, and then they say, how do I become a coach? So that's a very important factor. I do a lot of podcasts, so a lot of people get to know us. They want to learn more. They're interested in having an assessment with us, and we send them to our website to get that done. And then that's where the relationship begins. We have newsletters. We're on social media. Like, we really do our part on the marketing front.
And then what's involved in the assessment? Like, what are people experiencing when they fill that out or complete?
So yeah, it's really a two-part assessment. The first part is really to take a snapshot of where a person is now. I always say that it's hard to get to where you want to go if you don't know where your starting point is. Right? Like, I remember my daughter called the other day, and she was going to meet some friends, and she, you know, we live in Toronto, we have a subway, and on the way back, she couldn't find the same entrance as the one she left. And so she called, and my husband said, well, where are you right now? Like, look around you. What do you see? What's across the street? What street are you on? Where are you?
Right.
And until we know where someone is, we can't really direct them to their destination. And so that's what that assessment is. It takes a snapshot of where you are right now in terms of how satisfied are you with very important elements of your life. The second part of the assessment is actually journaling questions that allows you the time for some self-reflection. And what happens is that this assessment goes to one of our coaches who actually spends about an hour reviewing the assessment with you and providing some really practical hands-on coaching in that moment. And of course, inviting you to considering working with one of our coaches more permanently.
And then how are people paired with a coach there? Is it based on that the result of that assessment that you pair them with the most appropriate coach?
Yeah. So one is the assessment. Two is sometimes it's age. Sometimes it's which industry they're from. Okay. Sometimes it's just pure intuition that I say, oh, this person would be good with that coach. Sometimes I feel like, man, they need a strong man, someone who's like a no bullshit kind of coach. We have some of those. Or sometimes this person needs a more gentle touch. You just have a feeling and you do a match. And I can't tell you how often I get emails from clients saying, thank you so much for matching me with this coach. I get those emails all the time.
So now a devil's advocate question, and I'm not in this camp, but I debate with people that are, they say, why would I be coached by someone not in my industry? And I think they're missing the point of coaching, but I want to hear your take on that. So I'm a realtor. I'm insisting that you put me with someone with real estate experience, and you don't have one.
Okay. So number one, we do have one, but let's push that aside. Okay?
Right.
And I don't know if you know my history in real estate. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
So here's the thing. It's really, if you're looking for a subject matter expert, then you're really looking for a consultant. You're not looking for a coach.
Okay.
And so the question is, what is the job of a coach? What's the function? What's the role? And in our world, the role of a coach is to really examine the way you show up, examine the problems you bump into over and over again, and understand what creates those problems over and over again. And so in that case, we are subject matter experts. We're subject matter experts of thought mastery. So if you want to master your thoughts, you come to us. If you want someone who's going to help you make better cold calls, you don't come to us.
Gotcha. Right. Because what I've heard you say through the course of this interview is that it's really not an industry specific issue or the mechanics of your industry. It's in your head.
It's all in your head.
So it doesn't matter what you're doing for a living, if you could change jobs and still have an effective coach.
Right. And what I find is people take their same problems to new jobs unless those problems are addressed.
I talk about that all the time.
You take yourself everywhere you go, right?
You're right. Exactly.
And so at some point, you've got to you have to face yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing, like what you're saying is, well, I need a subject matter expert. And it's kind of like, maybe this is a stretch, but I'll give it to you anyways. It's kind of like saying, hey, I want my dog to wag its tail. So I'm going to take the tail and shake. But that's not how we do it.
Right.
That's not how we get our dog to wag his tail. We have to interact with that dog emotionally for the dog to wag his tail. And it's no different from human beings, except that that's what a lot of coaching does. Let's get that dog to wag its tail. Let's shake the tail. And that's not what we do. That's not.
Yeah. That's a great image. Now I want to go back to what you said, though. You have a background in real estate, so let's talk about that.
So I don't have a background as a real estate agent or as a real estate broker, but I don't know. You may have heard of a product called the Real Estate Simulator.
I don't know the product, but I have heard of it because of NAR, National Association of Realtors, back in the day. So what was it and how were you involved?
So the Real Estate Simulator was a simulation-based assessment tool that was designed to help brokers at the time, at the very, very beginning of time, basically recruit, select, and train new agents.
Okay.
So I was the founder of the company that built the Real Estate Simulator. Nice. So I went to every single real estate convention known to man.
Right.
I went to NAR. I went to RIS Media. I went to Inman. I went to all of those events. I got to know every single broker in the industry. And I was, you could say they thought of me as like a dog that was after a bone and didn't let go until I made the sale. And so much so that at some point I actually won an award for one of the 50 most influential women in the real estate industry. Did you know that?
No, that's amazing. But it totally makes sense that you're doing what you do now coming from that, because that's a natural leap, if you will.
Well, here's the interesting piece about that is that you know, we tested hundreds of thousands of real estate agents because of this product. And what I was really interested in is what makes a top performer? How do we differentiate between top performers and everyone else, specifically in real estate? And one of the things we discovered was that, like, we were testing for their IQ, their personality. We were testing for all kinds of things. We were looking at their skill sets, and none of that really mattered, you see?
Okay.
He shook his head.
Like, yeah, Jonathan's agreeing with you.
Right? You know, and when we would go to a broker and we would say, hey, we could help you pick the right agents, they'd say, we don't want to pick anybody. We just want all of them because we're just going to throw them up at the wall and see what sticks. Like, we just don't know. But what I discovered is there is one significant characteristic that will tell us who will succeed and who won't. And that is their degree of emotional resilience. So what is emotional resilience? Yeah. Emotional resilience is a person's ability to bounce back from adversity with greater speed and agility.
Okay.
Right? So how do you measure emotional resilience? Well, this product did that. It helped us to figure out if they had that bounce back ability. Right? But here's what I discovered over time is it not only can you bounce back with speed and agility, can you leverage your adversity? Can you turn it into something good? Can you do something with it? So Frame of Mind Coaching, what I do is I focus on helping people build their emotional resilience by looking at the adversity they've experienced in their life and how they've processed it. Make sense?
Yeah, powerful sense. That's amazing. They're great on the phone, or they're closers, or they're good negotiators. It's about their ability to bounce back from the setbacks, which, I mean, they're almost weekly in our industry. You know, you show up to your best friend's house and there's a for sale sign in the lawn from another broker, or your client that you sold a house to just gave it to their nephew who became a realtor. I mean, and those are just a couple of the minor things that happen. So I could see where that matters is, you know, how quickly can we get back to work after a setback?
Right. And how do we make sense of the setback? So you can have a phenomenal closer, right? And he closes, let's call it 85, 90% of the sales that he encounters, except he doesn't close 10%. And when that experience happens to him, he goes down into a spiral and he sits in that dark pit for weeks.
Yeah.
Right? That happens.
Yeah.
And then he starts to question his very existence. Right?
You've been reading my journal.
There you go.
I think, you know, there's a common, I'm not going to say exclusive, but there's a very common personality that becomes a realtor. And I think you just touched on a big part of that. Jonathan, I saw you shaking your head in agreement, even though you were disagreeing with what was being said. Did you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I totally agree with Kim.
Yeah.
I was reading a book from Malcolm Gladwell where he was talking, I forgot the gentleman's name who founded the IQ test.
And Daniel Goleman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he got
the EQ test.
And he identified a group of young people with very high level IQs, and I forgot what he called them. He called them a name, and he watched them because he said, "Well, they're guaranteed to be the leaders in their field. They've got these enormous IQ levels," and it didn't pan out. A lot of them were either very average in their career or below average. And it really questioned the whole industry of IQ identification. And what they did find was the things that you spoke about, how resilient you are, how can you deal with failure. The reason why I found it so interesting, I'm going to give you a little bit about myself, folks, is that I suffer from this. I'm going to change that wording, actually. I don't suffer from dyslexia. That's not true. I don't quite know how to word that.
You're blessed with dyslexia?
I wouldn't say blessed, but I wouldn't say suffer. It is what it is. It's a bit like if you had colour blindness.
You have dyslexia.
Yeah. But the one thing you learn by being a successful individual, and I've run a couple companies that had great success, is that you quickly learn how to deal with failure and get up the next day and try again, and then get up and try again. Mm-hmm. So what you were saying about that kind of really triggered off, I agree with you. It's about getting up and trying again, isn't it?
It's about getting up and trying again, learning from the mistake, and turning it into something good, right?
Yeah, and when you were speaking of Daniel Goleman, I actually met the man last year, and it's emotional intelligence is what he's talking about. And that word or that phrase gets thrown around a lot, but he was the one. I saw him lecture last year, and he really dove into the science of it, which, you know, as a realtor, most of it went over my head, but. He got into the real science of things, and I'm more of a big picture person. When you talk about getting into headspace, engineer types are probably my mortal enemies, because they like the fine details of everything, and that to me is just like yawn, shoot me. But what you were saying earlier reminded me of that same thing. I thought it was funny that Jonathan brought him up, because I remember that lecture, and it was about the emotional intelligence, which in part was the bounce back factor. How well do you recover? And more to your point, how you use what you've learned from the experience.
Right.
Well, Jonathan, do you have any final questions? Because I know we're running up on our time here.
Yeah, I think it's been a fascinating conversation. We'll have to have Kim back if she'll agree to come back.
I'd love to come back.
We got more work to do on Jonathan here, Kim.
Yes. You know what? Maybe what we could do is we could actually set up a coaching experience for you where you journal like for a week, and then we have our call.
Oh, that would be wonderful. How does that sound? Yeah, that'd be fun. I think.
There's going to be a bit of stripping down. You know that.
Yeah.
You get back to the bare paint. He's been a bit stressed, Kim. He's had the contractors in for the... He's had a remodel of his kitchen, and his wife just left him to deal with it. It was a bit stressful, wasn't it, Thomas?
Well, let's be clear. She didn't leave me permanently. She left for work. She's a flight attendant. But she was smart enough to take a lot of shifts in a row to get away from the construction.
It was all pre-planned, wasn't it, Thomas?
Kim, before we dive too much more into my personal life here, can we let our listeners know how to reach you and all the ways they can find you online?
So best way to reach me is frameofmindcoaching.com. We have a blog. We have testimonials. We have our assessment. We have an ebook there. Like, we just have a lot going on. So go to frameofmindcoaching.com and really, really explore the site. How to reach me, kim@frameofmindcoaching.com. But I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm in all those places. One of the things that I've recently started is a podcast called Resilience Radio. Yeah. And what we do is we interview people who have been through like serious adversity. And we look at how did they get through it? What type of thinking got them to the other side? A few weeks ago, I interviewed a woman who was a survivor of the Jonestown Massacre. Just so, so fascinating.
Wow.
And so if you have some time, take a listen. Really interesting stories. Not all of them are that extreme, but so, so fascinating to tune into.
Oh, no. And I actually checked out a couple of them in prep for our interview. So I can attest that they are some powerful stories in there. Something for everyone. Jonathan, how can people reach you?
It's quite simple, folks. You can either Twitter me at Jonathan Denwood. That's my personal Twitter feed. Or you can email me. I do read my email, but it's obviously come from somebody that's talking to me as a person. And do that at jonathan@mail-write.com, and I'll get back to you in the next couple of days.
Wonderful. And I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a San Diego residential realtor where I'm never too busy for your referrals. You can find me online at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. All social media, but where I am the most is Facebook and LinkedIn. I want to thank our guest, Kim Addis from Frame of Mind Coaching, for making episode 85 a very dynamic one. And thank you for coming on and really blowing me away. I mean, I'm going to go look for my socks after this because you blew them off me already. Some really great information today. So thanks for being here with us, Kim.
Oh, Thank you for the opportunity. It was absolutely so much fun.
Yeah, I agree with it. I really enjoyed it, Kim. It was a blast. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week, folks, where we got a very similar person to Kim in some ways. Very dynamic, very direct. That's Grant Wise, and he's going to be talking about Facebook some more, Thomas. So that should be fun. So we'll see you next week for another episode of the Mailwright Real Estate Agent Show, pushing your career further. See you later, folks.